Chapter 38. Sing. Sing found it unsettling to think of a time before Laconia. He'd been young enough when his parents made the crossing that he had virtually no memories of anything but Laconia as home, and yet Laconia wasn't even the first of the 1300 worlds to be colonized. First, there had been a ball of mud and water that the settlers called Illus. The government of Earth, faced with the daunting prospect of surveying, studying, then exploiting the potentially vast riches of these new worlds, did what it always did. It gave out a government contract to a civilian company to do it for them. But when the prospecting vessel from Royal Charter Energy arrived at what the UN was calling New Terra, they found a couple hundred squatters already there, digging up mineral resources and calling themselves an independent government. A lot of violence later, RCE left the planet. Illus had its own charter from the UN, and it was, up until recently, a founding member of Carrie Fisk's Association of Worlds and an exporter of lithium and heavy metals. James Holden had been there during the worst of that initial violence. Now he was in an observation room with his ankles shackled to the deck. Sing considered the man on his monitor. Holden was older than he'd expected. His temples gone white. The images he'd pulled from the public archives going back decades showed that same open, serious-eyed face on a man very near Sing's own age. Now, Holden sat with his head bowed forward. Blood streaked the chest and sleeves of his prison uniform. Round drops of it spotted his paper slippers. He cradled one hand against his belly, and his cheek was swollen and bruised. The stool he sat on had a single leg bolted to the deck, and he swayed forward and back like a man nodding himself to sleep. The restraints on his wrists looked like wide black ribbon, but Sing knew they were strong enough that the man's bones would break before they did. He wasn't a person so much as a distillation of human misery. "Should I ask how many of those wounds came from the explosion?" Sing said. Overstreet didn't smile, but a subtle merriness came into his eyes. "If that's important to you, sir, I'm sure I could find out." After the prisoner had set off false alarms throughout the engineering deck, he had been captured. 5 minutes after, the real alarms had begun. In other circumstances, Holden would already be dead. All that had kept him alive until now was his connection to the mechanisms and people involved in his terrorist group, and his own stubbornness. But if this was going to work, Sing knew he would have to somehow reach this man, make a human connection with someone ready to kill Laconians out of prejudice and hatred. If he was going to find something that he could exploit, he had to believe there was good in him, even if he only maintained the illusion for a little while. If he could reframe Holden in his own mind, if he could see some other version of the man than the obvious one, it might be possible. He did warn people. The alarms before the detonation. They let more people get to safety. When he was taken, he warned the security forces to take shelter. If he hadn't done what he did, the loss of life would have been worse.
"That's true," Overstreet said. "He could also have chosen not to bomb the air supply."
What was this man? A patriot to his government? A man so frightened of change he'd resort to violence? A rabble-rouser who took Sing's governorship as another opportunity to start trouble that he would have been making under any circumstances? What he came back to, what he brought himself back to, was that point. Holden had let himself be captured in order to save lives. It wasn't much, but it was all Sing had.
"Well," he said, "let's see what happens."
Holden looked up as he entered the room.
The older man's left eye was nearly shut, and his upper lip was split and scabby. He nodded to Singh as a guard brought a light chair for the governor to sit on.
"Captain Holden," Singh said, "I'm sorry we couldn't meet under better circumstances."
"Me too," Holden said. His voice was low and graveled. Singh had the sense that it wasn't always that way.
"Can I get you anything? A cup of water?"
"Coffee," Holden said. "I could stand a cup of coffee."
Singh tapped his wrist monitor, and a moment later the same guard re-entered with a bulb. Holden accepted it with both hands and sipped it. His smile seemed genuine.
"This is actually pretty good."
"I'm glad you approve. I'm more of a tea man myself."
"It'll do in a pinch," Holden said, then lifted his gaze to meet Singh's.
He had surprisingly clear and focused eyes, considering all he'd been through.
"Just to clarify, are you trying to build rapport with me, or am I trying to build rapport with you? I'm a little hazy on it."
"Both, I think," Singh said. "I haven't done this before. I'm a novice."
"Yeah, well, no offense, but you look like a teenager."
"I'm the same age you were when you were thrown out of Earth's Navy." Holden laughed. It was a warm, rueful sound.
"I'm not sure you'll do yourself any favors comparing yourself to me back then. I was kind of an idiot."
Singh found it was easy to chuckle. He could imagine coming to like this man. That was good. It made the next part easier.
"So, why do you hate us, if you don't mind my asking?"
"You, personally?"
"I don't. But this conquistador bullshit? It's true, I don't think much of it."
Singh leaned back in his chair, cocked his head.
"This is all a conversation about politics for you, then. It matters to you that much whose vision guides the government, no matter what that vision is."
"Not that academic," Holden said. "I've spent a lot of years trying to get people to get along without anyone's boot being on anyone's neck. Your plan A is what I've spent a lifetime pushing against."
"Do you really think we're so bad?
Look at what we've done, how we've done it. We haven't opened fire on a single ship that didn't attack us first. In all of history, when has a conqueror been able to say that? We have embraced local rule. Any of the colony worlds that submits can make their own local government, keep their own local customs,
unless they conflict with your rules."
"Of course." Holden sipped his coffee. "That's the thing. The people you're controlling don't have a voice in how you control them. As long as everyone's on the same page, things may be great, but when there's a question, you win, right?"
"There has to be a way to come to a final decision."
"No, there doesn't. Every time someone starts talking about final anythings in politics, that means the atrocities are warming up. Humanity has done amazing things by just muddling through, arguing and complaining and fighting and negotiating. It's messy and undignified, but it's when we're at our best, because everyone gets to have a voice in it, even if everyone else is trying to shout it down. Whenever there's just one voice that matters, something terrible comes out of it."
"And yet, I understand from Miss Fisk that the Transport Union was condemning whole colonies that didn't follow its rule."
"Right," Holden said. "And so I disobeyed that order, and I quit working for them. I was all set to go retire in Sol System. Can you do that?"
"Can I do what?"
"If you are given an immoral order, can you resign and walk away? Because everything I've seen about how you're running this place tells me that isn't an option for you."
Singh crossed his arms. He had the sense that the interrogation was getting away from him. The High Consul is a very wise, very thoughtful man, he said. I have perfect faith that... No, stop. Perfect faith really tells me everything I need to know, Holden said. You think this is a gentle, bloodless conquest, don't you? It is, to the degree that you allow it to be. I was there for the war Duarte started to cover his tracks. I was there for the starving years afterwards. Your empire's hands look a lot cleaner when you get to dictate where history begins and what parts of it don't count. So you and your friends decide instead, Singh said, trying to keep his tone light. You know that sooner or later you're going to tell us who they are. Holden took a long drink from the coffee cup and set it down gently on the floor beside his feet. I'm hoping for later, he said. But I see we're already done with the part where we make friendly with each other. Singh felt the warmth he'd cultivated toward Holden slipping away into frustration. He'd started in too quickly. He should have spent more time building up the relationship, and now they'd both fallen into adversarial stances with each other. It was time to change tack. Tell me what you can, Singh said, about Illis. Holden frowned, but not angrily. What do you want to know? Singh waited without answering. Holden shrugged. All right. It was the first contested colony. I went out there to try to mediate between the different claimants, and it all pretty much turned to shit. People shooting each other. Odd artifacts coming to life and blowing up the ocean. Local ecosystem trying to mine us for fresh water. And there were death slugs. It wasn't great. Artifacts coming to life? Yeah, Holden said, shifting on his little stool. We had a trace of active protomolecule on the ship. We didn't know about it. It was trying to report in about the Sol Gate being complete, but everything it wanted to report to was dead or turned off. So it started turning things on. Only part of it was this guy I used to know, and it's kind of a weird story. Why do you want to know about Illis? What about the other artifact? Holden shook his head, opened his hands. What other artifact? Singh pulled up the image from the Tempest on his monitor. A bright, black nothingness. He enlarged it and held it out for Holden to see. Yeah, the bullet, Holden said. It was the thing that turned everything off again. Deactivated the protomolecule. Singh felt a chill in his heart. The calmness and innocence of the way Holden said the words was deeper than any threat. It did what? The guy I used to know, the dead one, he was a detective, and it was using him to look for where to report in. Only he, the reconstructed version of him, noticed that there was this place that killed off protomolecule activity. He said it was like a bullet that someone had fired to kill off the civilization. That, bring that where I can see it better. Singh enlarged the image. Holden blinked. The weariness seemed to fall away from him, the pain of his injuries forgotten. When he spoke, his voice had a firmness and command Singh hadn't heard there before. That's not Illis. Where is that? It appeared in Sol system, on one of our ships. Oh, fuck that, Holden said. All right, listen. There's a woman you need to find. Her name's Elvi Okoye. She was a scientist on Illis. I don't know where she is now, but she spent years researching the artifacts there, including that one. She went through it. Went through it to where? Not like a door, like she carried part of the protomolecule's network into it, and it killed off the sample, turned it all inert. And she said it turned hers sort of off while it did. Turned her off. Like she lost consciousness, Singh said. Lost time? Something like that, Holden said. I don't know. I didn't go through it. But I did see the thing on the station. I saw what happened to them. Singh found he was leaning forward. His blood felt like it was fizzing. And what was more, he saw the same feelings echoed in Holden's battered face. There was a station on Illus? He asked. No, the one here. The station that controls the ring space. The first time anyone came through the ring, that same dead guy took me to the station. It was part of how the rings turned on. But I saw things there, like a record of the old civilization. My friend, the dead guy, was looking through it for something, and because he was using me to do it, I saw it all too. Whatever made this, all of this, they were wiped out a long time before you and me got here. Billions of years, maybe. I saw whole systems going dark. I saw them trying to stop it by burning away entire solar systems, and it didn't work. Whatever they tried to do, it failed. And they were all just wiped away, with just their roads and their old machines left for us to stumble across. That thing that showed up on your ship, that's them. The other them. That's the thing that killed everything before Mars and Earth were part of the gate network. But why would it appear now? Holden choked on a laugh. Well, I don't know. Have you people been doing anything different recently? Singh felt a little stab of embarrassment. It was a fair point. For the first time, the Tempest had employed the magnetic field generator in an uncontrolled environment both here and in Sol System. Maybe this was a side effect, or something else about the battleships built on the platforms, or... Look, Holden said, you and me, we're not friends. We aren't going to be friends. I will oppose you and your empire to my dying breath. But right now, none of that matters. Whatever built the gates and the protomolecule and all these ruins we're living in, they were wiped out. And the thing that wiped them out just took a shot at you. Singh couldn't sleep that night. He was exhausted. But whenever he closed his eyes, Holden was there, squinting through his injured eyes, pointing with his broken hand. And the enigma of the bullet, the threat and mystery it represented. They defied him to sleep. In the middle of his sleep shift, he gave up, put on a robe, and ordered a pot of tea delivered from the commissary. When it arrived, he was already searching through the station records for other documentation of Holden's ravings. He was hoping to find something to suggest that the man was either insane or playing a game to deflect attention from his terrorism. But file after file, report after report, confirmed him. Even when there was no other witness to what he'd seen, there was at least a history to show that his claims had been consistent. It would have been so much easier if James Holden were only a madman. Your empire's hands look a lot cleaner when you get to dictate where history begins and what parts of it don't count. He knew the story of Laconia's founding. He'd been there for it, though he'd been a child at the time. The gates to the 1300 worlds had opened and the probes had gone through. They'd brought back reports of the different systems, the stars and planets, and the stranger things that they'd seen. All humanity had seen the opportunity of new lands, of new worlds to inhabit. But alone of them all, Winston Duarte had recognized the terrible danger that expansion would bring. the chaos and violence as humanity pressed out past the limits of civilization. The choke point of the slow zone and the endless wars it would generate. The unanticipated environmental collapses made worse by the lack of a central response, and he alone had the will to solve the problem. From among all the planets on the far sides of the gates, he chose Laconia because of the orbital construction platforms. He found the live culture of the protomolecule that he could use to harness Laconia's power. He found Dr. Cortesar to lead the research and development. And he took a third of the Martian Navy as the seed that would grow to become the world tree. The fraction of humanity that would rebuild on Laconia and come forth to bring order to humanity's chaos. To bring the peace that would last forever. The end of all wars. Singh doubted none of it. Holden's version wasn't incompatible, even if it chose a different emphasis. Holden himself had used the protomolecule on Illus, or been used by it, to turn on the ancient mechanisms. Only he had done it haphazardly, and with terrible results. Duarte had done it carefully, and to glorious effect. He sipped his tea. It hadn't quite gone cold, but it wasn't as warm as he'd expected. Holden was a problem. He was the key to breaking the terrorist network on Medina. He was also the key to the mystery of the thing that had appeared on the Tempest. His was the only report on the visions from the Ring Station. He was singular in all humanity because he'd bumbled into being in so many of the right places at so many of the right times. If there was one thing Laconia's history taught, it was the power of the right person at the right moment. Singh had always known that the history of Laconia and the history of Sol System were connected. He'd never felt those common roots more deeply than now. The sense that his world and Holden's were part of a single, much vaster story. The makers of the protomolecule were also a part of that larger frame. The things that had killed them and then vanished. The things that had returned.